morning.
Good morning.
I guess we're getting started a little early, so it's okay. People can still keep filtering in. That's right. Welcome again to Bethesda Lutheran Church this morning on our fourth Sunday after Pentecost. I'm glad to see that you all, at least those that are here, survived the storm last night. We had quite the weather last night. All that thunder and lightning and rain. So we aren't completely swept away this morning. The second flood has not happened. God kept his promise not to do that again. So we're all safe and sound, hopefully, this morning. However, we may need to rethink our church photo today. I know we did propose an idea, so hopefully, unless, I mean, raise your hands in just a minute if you feel like we should just wait. Oh! You feel like we should just wait another week, but talking to our photographer extraordinaire, we were thinking that maybe we could all meet outside in the parking lot with our sort of backs to the big social hall wall, you know, where all the windows are, and then Melody can kind of stand out in the parking lot on a ladder, and hopefully that, we might need some of you that have your cars there to move them, but hopefully that should give us a nice backdrop without having to get our feet in all the wet, soaking wet grass. So if that seems to work for folks, if people want to get in the church, we'll have to wait a little bit for some of the second service folks to filter in, but we'll try to do that after service. I don't know, do we want to wait to maybe have a little coffee first? Or do we feel people, worried people will scatter? I don't know. So maybe we should just kind of go out there and wait a few minutes and get assembled and let cars get moved, and we'll try to take a photo. So, and if we don't like it, then we'll, I guess we'll try to find another time. But all this is hopefully to be put in a future directory and used next year as we celebrate our 100th anniversary. So.
I think the cars will be all right.
Okay. You can just stand on the cars, and I'm sure they won't mind, but we'll figure it out. We have, as usual, a number of announcements this morning. One of the big ones, of course, is for VBS. This is coming up as VBS week. If folks would also be willing to help set up for VBS to take down tables today, maybe that's what we can do while we bide some time before the second service folks kind of filter in. We can help take down some tables in the social hall. Then we wouldn't have them for, I don't know, we'll figure it out. This is my first time doing all this, so I don't know. We'll get it all figured out, but if people are willing to help take down some of those tables, that would be wonderful. I think you'll see some other things about there. Of course, some of our weekly things have to be rescheduled because of VBS, so I know like our Bible study groups are just going to take the week off. I know our women's group is going to start. We've been slowly working our way through the entire Bible in our Wednesday morning Bible study, and men and women are welcome to join. Next week, we're going to start up with the New Testament. So we've finally worked our way through the whole Old Testament, or at least most of it, and start up with the New Testament. See other things in there about other photographs, about lawn mowing, about the no-bake bake sale. Please keep that in mind, that sort of fun way to donate. Community picnic, please keep that in mind as well. Let's see what else. I know an additional thing, another sort of sad note. We, I think, previously mentioned that Rose Pedersen, excuse me, had passed away, and that her funeral will be this coming Saturday. With a visiting hour at noon and the worship, the funeral service at 1 on Saturday. We also, this week, Jackie or Kamiko Liljenquist also passed away. And so we are going to try to schedule that funeral for Friday at 3 p.m. with a visiting hour of 2. However, because of VBS and because a lot of folks will be helping out for lunch on Saturday, if we can get some extra people to help out with providing the lunch on Friday and for helping with some of the reset up after VBS, if you're able to on Friday afternoon to come and help, I know it would be a great, great help. So, and we also, and of course, we keep both of those families in our prayers this morning. Are there any other announcements we have at this time?
To keep in mind. I have one.
Yes.
We're having a concert
on the
7th of July. Dakota Road, a couple of people from Dakota Road are coming. kids on 4 and under are free. Teenagers are down to 4 are only $5, and it's $10 for adults.
Nice.
So it should be fun.
Should be good. I know Jim's been busy putting flyers up all over town, so if you see them, know that it was personally delivered by Jim, probably. So so thank you, Jim, for all
by
that.
By the way, we have a Dakota Road song.
We do have a Dakota Road song today, that's right. So hopefully we'll do justice to it. But I know we often will use a Dakota Road song as one of our contemporary songs, so they do a great job with having a nice, fairly upbeat sort of a song. All right, any other announcements at this time? All right. Thank you all again for being here this morning. Do we have a temple talk this morning? No? Okay. All right. Otherwise, we'll just begin with our opening hymn 608. 608. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, full of compassion and mercy, abounding in steadfast love. Amen. Trusting God's promise of forgiveness, let us confess our sin against God and one another. Eternal God, our Creator, in you we live and move and have our being. Look upon us, your children, the work of your hands. Forgive us all our offenses and cleanse us from proud thoughts and empty desires. By your grace, draw us near to you, our refuge and our strength. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit given to us. In the mercy of Almighty God, Christ died for us while we were still sinners, and for his sake, God forgives you all our sins. Amen. Let us pray. O God, you are the tree of life, offering shelter to all the world. Graft us into yourself and nurture our growth, that we may bear your truth and your love to those in need. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Our final reading in our series on the Ten Commandments is from the book of Exodus, the 20th chapter, the 17th verse. And the Lord continued to speak through Moses. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or male or female servant, or ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And please rise for the gospel. And our gospel again this week is from the Gospel of St. Matthew, the 22nd chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest? He said to him, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. There's a relatively obscure song by country and folk musician Lyle Lovett that is a perfect song for this Sunday as we close up our series on the commandments. Unfortunately, or perhaps fortunately, you will not be hearing me sing or play this song on the guitar. I keep reminding Jim, my guitar is even worse than my piano, so he just has to just hold on a minute. You can't. Maybe if I really work on it in time for the jamboree, I can maybe play this song. I don't know. But it's a song that, as many of Lovett's songs are, features a very quirky sense of humor, and that you needs a couple listens, otherwise you might not understand sort of what the song is actually about. Or at least you have to listen very carefully. It's a song that on the surface, the song even has kind of a funny name. It's called Skinny Legs. Skinny Legs, that's one of the repeated phrases. It's a song that on the surface, it's sung by a young man to a young woman about how she would just love him if, like this other guy, he had skinny legs. There's this repeated line, you'd love me if I... You know, if I was skinny, if I had a baby face, if I had good hair, if I was a dresser like him, if I had a blue Toyota like him, all these things that he's imagining. And when you first hear it, you think, gosh, is this a song about how superficial women are when it comes to guys? But if you listen more carefully, you realize it's actually about covetousness, about guys. You know, it's about the singer of the song. And in fact, Lovett even kind of gives a little clue to this in how he sings the song, even his tempo. When the singer, this young man, is singing and he's describing all these things that this other guy has, you know, the song is a little bit slower. But then when he sort of has this refrain of, oh, you know, listen up, you know, if I had these things, I know you would love me, he kind of speeds through them, right? So the focus is more on the guy than on the girl. And in fact, by the time the song ends, you hear that this young man gets some of those things. He gets that blue Toyota. But because he's so focused still on the grass being greener on the other side of the street, right, he loses the girl and she takes his car. So, and then he keeps going, you know, he's still stuck in this rhythm of seeing somebody else, seeing a life that should be his, that when even he has part of that life for himself, he still isn't happy because he's always focused on something else and he's not focused on living a good life for himself and is frankly kind of a jerk. You know, he's not just is he suffering, but he's causing other people around him to suffer. And so we begin to see it, as we talked about last week, how, you know, we often think of commandments and the laws of God as these bars that sort of hold us back from living the kind of life we want to live. And yet we begin to understand more and more how sin and how these unhealthy desires and these obsessions actually create a prison for us, how they stand in our way of true happiness. You know, and this is true with covetousness, of looking at someone else, looking at the life that they lead, and wishing that that life was our own, and how that stands in the way of not just our love for God, but our love for neighbors and our love for ourselves as well. And I think one thing, too, that covetousness reminds us, and I think what we are also reminded of today, is that this prison that we create, not only is it a form of idolatry, right, that it separates us from our love for God, of putting God first, of not making other things into a god of themselves, but also that these prisons that we build for ourselves are very alluring, right? They speak to our desires. They even sometimes speak to the things about us that are often the best parts of us, right? It's not just that they're appealing. That there's often things that are very logical for us to care about, things that are very wholesome for us to care about. You know, we might remember one of Jesus's most, you know, if there's a top 10 list, this would be near the top of the list of Jesus's most confusing sayings, right? When Jesus says in Luke chapter 14 that whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, cannot be my disciple. And we think, Jesus, did you not just, you know, did you not hear the series on the Ten Commandments? Did you not get that, you know, honor thy father and mother? But of course we know Jesus is well aware of the Ten Commandments, but we're still confused because, you know, we think, well, Jesus is usually pro-love and kind of against hating people. So what is Jesus talking about here? And of course, many a good preacher tries to explain it to us, and they explain that in many ways this is about idolatry, right? It's about covetousness. It's about putting other things, even good things, in the way of our relationship with God, putting things before God. And that love of God, and that we have learned over these past few weeks and have reminded ourselves of, that love of neighbor and love of God are connected. And sometimes even this good thing of family can stand in that way. You know, other good things too, other concerns that we might have. It's very, very, you know, they call them temptations for a reason, not just because they're bad things we really want to do, but sometimes even the good things we want to do can get us a little confused. You know, one of the big controversies of the last few weeks, and, you know, certainly something that, as always, we try to be careful when we talk about politics in church. But one of the, you know, the big controversies has been around this immigration debate and about the handling of especially children as part of that. You know, we've seen perhaps pictures online or seen articles about children in cages, and it's shocking to us. A couple weeks ago, our presiding bishop in the ELCA joined a number of religious leaders in expressing concern for this. You know, she joined together with Catholics and Catholic leaders and Presbyterians and Methodists and Episcopalians and the UCC and the Mennonite Church and the Moravian Church and Jewish groups and Islamic groups, the African Episcopal Methodist Church, the Armenian Church joined in on this list. You maybe have never heard before of His Eminence Archbishop Vikin Aikazian before, but he's on that list, right? Even he is upset by what's going on. But I think, you know, generally at that point there was a concern, but also being cautious as well, wanting to find out more, wanting to learn more. And then, of course, this last week things exploded because the Attorney General got up and then it made the mistake, I suppose, of citing the Bible as part of it. And if there's anything that upsets religious leaders, it's when people cite when politicians cite the Bible and do so for somewhat dubious reasons. And so you hear many more groups that are coming out, you know, the evangelicals and the Baptists, Franklin Graham, who is, you know, the son of the late Billy Graham and is sort of noted supporter of President Trump, is upset about this as well. I know my Facebook, having, you know, being connected to a lot of different pastors, just like exploded this week in all kinds of comments and articles and things like that. And I think what makes this so universally upsetting, you know, not just these images, not just the concern for people, but also the misuse of the Word of God. You know, and it doesn't take, I think, a great deal of Bible study to start poking holes in the use of, I know, in particular, Romans 13 was used. As, you know, one of the first people to comment on this was noted biblical scholar Stephen Colbert, right, of late-night comedy fame, right? It doesn't take a lot of in-depth Bible passage. He points out that if you just read, like, two verses later, there's a passage that talks about how we are to love our neighbor, that loving our neighbor is the fulfillment of the law. And so I think that's why people are so disturbed by all of this. And I think also, too, I think people realize that it has nothing to do with the whole debate about immigration itself. You know, we've talked about other hot-button issues in church about how it's okay for us to have differences of opinion about things, that we can debate. You know, we both know that, I think we all relatively know that the extremes are probably not where we want to be, but there's this messy middle ground where we should have conversation, where we should debate these things. That's a healthy process, to have disagreements and have conversations. But when you start putting children in cages, I think you know that something has gone wrong. And you start justifying cruelty as policy, I think we know something has gone wrong. And I think what we also begin to, what I was thinking about this week is how this does come back to, I think, covetousness, and it comes back to idolatry. You know, again, there's often many things that come up in this whole immigration debate that often touch on things that are very important to us. You know, there's economic reasons, and of course, economy ties into family, it ties into, you know, concern for our communities. You know, we're concerned for our way of life, for culture, for all these things, and we're afraid of losing that. And that's not entirely wrong. I mean, sometimes it goes to unhealthy places, but it's also often comes from valid concerns as well. But I think, again, we have to remember how sneaky sin works in our lives and how it takes the things that we value, the things that we love, the things that seem that very logical and healthy and good things, and how sin twists that. And eventually we find ourselves in a place where we look around and we're shocked at how the ends are justifying the means, so to speak. You know, coveting isn't always about looking at the life of our neighbor, looking at the people that love them, the people that they love, about their possessions, about looking at the grass on the other side, the skinny legs and the blue Toyota, and wishing that was ours. Sometimes covetousness is about the ideal life that is just in our heads. And we put that ideal life above our concern for others, above our love for neighbor and our love for God. And so we find ourselves in these difficult and painful places, and we wonder just what exactly is being worshipped here. Because our faith is not a faith of the ends justify the means. Our faith is very much a faith of the means. It's a way of life. You know, we've talked about throughout this Ten Commandments series how God has not just brought the people out into the desert to lead them to the promised land, to have this end result, but to teach them how to be a new people, how to renew their relationships with God and with one another. You know, God's concern is less that they will become slaves again. God knows he can take care of that. God will always have their back. I think what God is more concerned about, more than a concern that the Egyptians will track them down and haul them back to Egypt, God is concerned that the people of Israel will become the next Egyptians, that they will become the oppressors, that they will become the ones who violence and cruelty just becomes a part of their way of life. It becomes something that they can just hand wave away about getting a vision, fulfilling a vision of how they think life should be. That they covet this life in the promised land so much that they're willing to do anything to see that dream happen. God doesn't want them just to become the next set of Egyptians. God wants them to be his people, a sign for the nations of God's love and forgiveness and grace. And so I think we too have to ask ourselves, who do we worship? Who does our country worship? Is it a God of love and mercy and forgiveness? Or do we worship something else? Amen. Please rise as you are able. Let us confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Filled with the Holy Spirit, we join with the Church in every place, praying for the world that God so loves. O Most High, your divine realm is like a noble tree whose boughs and branches give shade and rest to the peoples of the earth. Make your Church a nesting place for all who need your peace and healing. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
O Most High, all the world is a garden for your creativity. Refresh places of drought with abundant rains. Strengthen and keep safe those who fight fires in your forests. Help us tend your mountains and plains, oceans and rivers with loving care. Hear us, O God.
Mercy is great.
O Most High, you speak and your word is accomplished. Speak to the leaders of the nations so that they might end cycles of violence, giving people everywhere tranquility and peace. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
O Most High, if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Bring the abundant healing blessings of the new creation into the lives of those who suffer illness or deprivation of any kind. Hear us, O God.
Mercy is great.
O Most High, your steadfast love and faithfulness sustain your people. Bless fathers and all father figures with such love and faithfulness that children flourish and grow in uprightness and joy. Bless those who long to be fathers and those for whom this day is difficult. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Good and gracious God, we offer the prayers of our community this day. We remember in prayer the families of Jackie Kimiko Lillenquist and the family of Rose Pedersen. Please be with them. Bring them your healing and your love as they mourn, that they know that your love will not end, neither throughout our lives nor in our death. And we also remember in prayer Marlis Beavers, as that we pray for her continued health, and all those who bring her care, all the doctors and nurses. And again, we pray for all the fathers here as we celebrate Father's Day, all those that play a fatherly role in the life of others, all the fathers and grandfathers, our own parents. Please be with them. Continue to work through them to bring your love into our lives and heal all of those places where relationships may be tense. And now, O God, we lift up all the other prayers that are on our hearts and minds, and we lift them to you now either out loud or in silence. O Most High, just as the earth produces of itself and the harvest comes, you gather up your people from all times and places. Bring us along with those who have died into the lasting harvest of your kingdom. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
By the sure guidance of your Holy Spirit, O God, we lift up our prayers in trust and thanksgiving through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
Also with you.
Please share a sign of that peace with one another. Let us pray. Merciful God, you open wide your hand and satisfy the need of every living thing. You have set this feast before us. Open our hands to receive it. Open our hearts to embrace it. Open our lives to live it. We pray this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Holy, mighty, and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Communion again this morning will be by intinction. Receive the wafer, and then someone will be holding the wine, and you can dip it in there. And all are welcome. Seated. Thank you.
Please rise as you are able.
Let us pray. Jesus Christ, host of this meal, you have given us not only this bread and cup, but your very self, that we may feast on your great love. Filled again by these signs of your grace, may we hunger for your reign of justice. May we thirst for your way of peace, for you are Lord forevermore. Amen. May God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine, grant you the gifts of faith and hope. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. Our closing hymn, as we mentioned before, is a Dakota Road hymn, and it's an insert in your bulletin. On the back, excuse me. On mine, it's an insert. Well, no, that's not true.
Hearts are broken ways. How long to wake up?
married then, I was thinking, but all right. All right. Go in peace. The Spirit sends us forth to serve. Thanks be to God. We'll have to have them play it for us again when they're actually here, and we'll learn it up good, yeah.